I'm Karen Given, and it's time for three stories you should know. Earlier this week, news broke that Colin Kaepernick would work out for NFL teams in Atlanta, and that's where we'll start this week. I'm joined by Mike Pesca, host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist, and by The Wall Street Journal's Ben Cohen. Welcome back to both of you.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
Hi, Karen.
Okay, so as the whole world knows by now, the NFL has invited Colin Kaepernick to hold a workout. Sources say the league arranged this event after at least two teams checked in on Kaepernick's status, which is odd because if there is in fact no collusion, there would be no need to check with the league about whether Cap is available. The fact that Cap is available has been a major story since, March 9th, 2017. But anyway, the fact that this is happening on a Saturday, when roughly half of all coaches and general managers will be traveling for Sunday's games, is also odd. These kinds of workouts normally happen on Tuesdays. And all of this has led some to suggest that this event might be a bit disingenuous. Call it a PR stunt, as Panthers safety Eric Reed did. But it definitely does not fall into the realm of normal NFL operating behavior. So what do we make of this, Ben?
Well, to me, the publicity stunt part is very odd because there is no media involved. The only people who are going to be able to see the workout are the scouts and the executives and presumably people from Colin Kaepernick's camp. This is actually quite strange for the NFL because this is a league that has done as much as any American sports league to carve up its media rights deals. I mean, they have made the process of the NFL draft longer than the NBA playoffs at this point. Like, if they put this thing on TV, if they made a media circus it, it would be huge. It would be bigger than the NBA. It would be bigger than college football on Saturday for sure.
I hadn't thought of that, but it's a good point. This is the NFL at its most restrained, at its most understated. Such dignity. 11 or so teams said they'd be attending the workout, and most of them are teams, it makes sense, either their current quarterback might play a running style like the Arizona Cardinals or perhaps the Baltimore Ravens. Then you have the teams with just bad quarterbacks. The Broncos will be there. Do the NFL owners, do NFL scouts, do they really need this to know that Colin Kaepernick is out there and available? Every time there's an injury, it's always mentioned in the media, and his representatives have been reported to have been contacting teams every so often. Hey, yeah. Kaepernick's out there.
Yeah, I find the idea, and maybe the sources are incorrect, those sources that say that this is because at least two teams contacted the league and asked about his status. But really, like, every time a quarterback stubs his toe, someone in a press conference says, why don't you get Kaepernick? So it's all very strange.
And if you do, and if you are a Kaepernick fan, do you really want to put him behind the Bengals offensive line? I'm just saying.
All right, Ben, you're up.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys remember this, but last year on ESPN, Stephen A. Smith went on live national television and he said, Carmelo Anthony, and then he paused for 7 seconds, just total silence. And he said, Carmelo Anthony is bad. Now, I want to say the New York Knicks are bad. How bad are they? Well, if you look at their record over the last 500 games, it turns out the Knicks haven't been this bad since the 1960s. That is more than a half century
the glory of being bad.
And the worst part about this is that it didn't have to be this way. In fact, it actually wasn't long ago that they were actually pretty good in pretty interesting ways. So the year was 2013. You may not believe this, but the Knicks broke the NBA record for three-pointers that season. They had the most productive offense in the history of the team. They won 54 games. They made the playoffs. They won a playoff series. They were fun. They were relevant. The New York Knicks were operating like a perfectly competent professional basketball team. And then they weren't. They had a peek of the future, and they were like, we're okay. We'll go back to being the Knicks. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the New York Knicks are bad.
Mike?
Yeah, they're really bad. Their roster construction makes no sense. Let's just get some more guys to clog up the middle. Let's get this amazing player, Mitchell Robinson, and play him like 18 minutes a game. Of course, you know, if you play him 19, he'll probably foul out. Their coach is not good. I don't understand. Fizdale can't set a rotation. They even had a press conference earlier this week, essentially publicly criticizing the coach, the owner, who's really bad. I don't have enough seconds to pause before how bad I allege that James Dolan is. It's frustrating because I live two blocks from the Barclays Center and I was very intent on becoming a Nets fan, but I'm just so bothered by the fact that their owner is essentially doing propaganda for the Chinese government. That said, he's probably a morally better person than James Dolan, but still, it gives me pause.
You know, sometimes I feel bad that we make fun of the Knicks all the time.
Don't.
This week, fans took video of six stadium guards removing a fan from his seat for chanting "Fire Dolan." And like this became a whole thing. The Knicks made it clear they didn't kick the guy out of the stadium for his chant. But then the fan fired back and he said that they told him they would kick him out if he kept chanting. And so he chose to leave. Ben, is there anything this ownership team gets right?
That is a great question. I mean, what I was going to say is that there are plenty of NBA teams that are bad and that they actually choose to be bad for a few years and then they become good. The worst and the most frustrating part of all of this is that the New York Knicks are not even good at being bad, and that is their problem.
All right, Mike, you're up.
So I've been watching the show on CNBC. It's Alex Rodriguez rehabbing former athletes like Evander Holyfield and Joe Smith and Ryan Lochte and, for some reason, the comedian Brian Dunkelman, who was on American Idol. The name of the show is Back in the Game, and the premise is that A-Rod comes in to these athletes who frittered away their fortunes, and because A-Rod is wise, I will hold that for a few seconds, but not seven, because A-Rod is so wise, he can advise a Ryan Lochte-like figure how to get, indeed, back in the game. Given that framework, it's not as horrible as it could be. A-Rod comes, he talks about the accomplishments of the athlete. There's a little bit of superiority porn built in where all the regular people like me can say, oh my God, look at how much he had and I can't believe he spent it. And then A-Rod, because he's wise, works to help the athlete make a little more money. Just a really weird show that's bad, formulaic. But it's kind of like, I hate to say it, but I can't look away.
Ben?
Well, I'm curious, Mike, how would you fix the show? Like, is it the financial part of it that doesn't make sense? Is it Alex Rodriguez? You're the showrunner of it. What do you do?
Right. So that's a great question. And I've done stories, I bet you have too, on athletes who had it all and lost it all. It can't always be a redemption story. I would think at some cases, you would go and you'd say, look, this is beyond help and you cannot be rehabbed. We could maybe just understand how it happened. That would be a little more interesting to me.
Would you watch that show, Ben?
I would. Yeah, I do think that Alex Rodriguez has reinvented himself as this sort of charismatic, compelling television figure in a way that nobody saw coming. Now, this is obviously a leap from being a baseball analyst where he has emerged as this sort of savant on television who explains the game very intelligently.
It was really interesting to me because I, too, have been, like, caught up in this, oh, I'm starting to like A-Rod. Like, he's maybe not such a bad guy. And I find myself having these conversations about how interesting his turnaround has been and how he seems to have, like, you know, worked on himself in that he went to lots of therapy and figured out why he had been such a jerk for a long time and stopped being such a jerk, maybe, or maybe just in front of cameras, you know. And then he goes and does this thing. And I got to say, the part of it that I can't handle is that whenever the topic gets really serious, they cut away to like the serious A-Rod face. Like this really serious, he kind of nods and he kind of looks at the camera. I mean... Mike, how do you not just laugh at that?
Yeah, he's also the host of the show, but he's also an interview subject, and he's not facing the camera when he talks. He's facing some interlocutor off camera. It's very odd. It's like we're getting to observe Alex Rodriguez in the wild with his baseball acumen. And by the way, yeah, he's better than we thought he'd be, but if you really want to waste a number of hours, listen to Alex Rodriguez broadcast a baseball game. There's not a ton of insight.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Mike Pesca, host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist, and The Wall Street Journal's Ben Cohen. Thanks to both of you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.